Chapter 2. Confessions. Doctrinal Foundations. The banishments, prisons, racks, exiles, tortures, and countless other persecutions plainly demonstrate that our desire and conviction is not carnal, for we would lead a far easier life if we did not embrace and maintain this doctrine. But having the fear of God before our eyes, and being in dread of the warning of Jesus Christ, who tells us that he shall forsake us before God and his Father if we deny him before men, we suffer our backs to be beaten, our tongues to be cut, our mouths to be gagged, and our whole body to be burnt. For we know that he who would follow Christ must take up his cross and deny himself. And because we are persecuted as if we were not only enemies of your throne and the commonwealth, but also enemies of God and his church, we humbly pray you to judge this by the confession of faith, which we lay before you and which we are ready and willing, if necessary, to seal with our own blood. From this confession we trust that you will see that we are wrongly called schismatics, promoters of disunity, rebels and heretics. For we not only uphold and profess the chief heads of the Christian faith, comprehended in the symbolum or creeds, but also the whole teaching revealed by Jesus Christ for our life, justification, and salvation, proclaimed by the evangelists and apostles, sealed with the blood of so many martyrs and preserved pure and complete by the primitive church. Guido de Bray, Letter to King Philip II. The story goes that a Dutch Reformed Christian once asked one of his non-denominational Christian friends the following question: "So, what is your church's confession of faith?" The evangelical replied simply, "The Bible." The Dutchman was a bit puzzled, so he said, "But the Bible is so big." This apocryphal story amusingly illustrates that while every Christian professes to believe the Bible, the real question is this: what does an individual Christian or a Christian church profess to believe the Bible teaches? After all, Christians of all sorts will readily swear allegiance to the Bible as the Word of God, but they may have vastly different understandings of such matters as how God created us, how God saves us, how the Holy Spirit brings gifts to the church, and how and when the Lord Jesus Christ will come again. As the opening chapter showed, Reformed churches teach and confess the ancient Christian creeds and Reformed confessions because their tenets come straight from the Bible, and Christians have believed them over the